You just let me know when. Okay. Hope I'm not popping too much today. I'll try to keep this from raking over. Well, I think, wow, this was great. I'm going to be using this board maybe a little bit. So, I just want to say a little prayer before we get started. Father, we just thank you for today. Already, I just feel so refreshed at your word. We just lift up Tom and Rich as they are away from us today. We lift up all those who were not able to make it today for whatever reason. And we just ask for a calming blessing to them that they can just tell that today is a day where you just lift the stress off of them, that they feel your shalom. And we ask also, Father, that there will not be any spirit that would twist the word today that goes forth. We just ask, Father, for a purity of what we hear. We ask for a love between each and every single one of us toward each other and toward you. In Yeshua's holy, precious name, our covering, amen. Okay. Let me get this out here first. Okay. Thought for the day. But I think I might do a little animation here for us. Okay. Let's just say, all right. Is it better? We'll just say L is the law. Which position is better? To have the law after you or to follow the law? Okay. We'll get rid of that so it doesn't burn too much into your your retinas. All right, that's about as funny as it's going to get today. Okay. The last time I taught, I was talking about authority. Today I'm going to we just touched on it a little bit. Now, I'm going to overlap a little bit, but I'm going to be bringing up more insights about authority. This can affect your life. You could either, you're probably, each and every one of us will have a time where we can say, oh me, on this. But it's meant to enhance our walk with the Father. I'm going to bring up an old scripture. Of course, we haven't got there in the Torah yet, but let me read it from Exodus 17, 14 through 16. Yah said to Moshe, write this in a book to be remembered and tell it to Yahashua. I will completely blot out any memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moshe built an altar and called it Adonai Nisi, or Yahweh Nisi, and said, because their hand, the Amalekites, their hand was against the throne of Yah, Adonai will fight Amalek generation after generation. What was the big deal about the Amalekites? It says, it gives us a hint, because their hand was against the throne of Yah. We're going to see that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us in this culture. But I think after today, we're going to find out to see how deadly that is. Okay. Now, again, we're going to go back into the creation account. The account, day one, God says. Day two, God says. On through all 6 days. All right. What we're seeing here, when God says, let there be light, and he separated the light from the darkness. He says, separate the waters from above and the waters below, and let there be a firmament in between. It's not all through this account of creation. The focus is not on his power. And you're thinking, what? No. Because his power, the details of his power are left out, really. What it is focusing on is his authority. Makes sense now when it says, God said. Elohim said. The focus is all on his authority. In Hebrews, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. So why is his Word so powerful? Because it's Elohim's authority. All right. One of the, it seems like a dirty trick. Why did Elohim plant the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? And then tells Adam, don't touch it. Oh, well, he didn't say that. He says, don't eat of it. But then a little bit earlier, the account shows where Adam was given dominion and authority over Yah's creation. All right? There's a principle that we're going to see right in here. You cannot have authority unless you submit to authority. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was Yahweh saying, you can't eat it because I'm the authority. Your obedience by not eating the tree, the fruit of the tree, shows your subjection to my authority. With that subjection to authority, that allowed Adam to have authority over the rest of the creation. Then, the authority structure doesn't end there, does it? Of course not. Because Eve was created, and we see the authority where she was placed. Not because she was to be the slave, but so she was to have authority also. Eve was to share the authority with Adam. Now, let's just get more into this a little bit more. The acts of God issue from his throne. What does the throne always represent? Authority. Is the king the strongest person in the land? Well, we're not talking about. I mean, talking about worldly kings. Physically, he doesn't have to be the strongest person in the land. But he's the most powerful person in the land. only because of his authority. So his power is an act of his authority. So the throne represents the authority. Everything that has been created issued from the throne. So a throne establishes his authority. And all things that are created or through God's authority, all the physical laws of the universe are maintained by his authority. The Bible expresses it as upholding all things by the word of his power, which means upholding all things by the word of his power of his authority. So if there was a little hierarchy here, what would be on the very top of everything else? The very top. His authority. His authority is supreme in the whole universe. His authority regulates his power. Look down at anything you have here. It's made of atoms. Everything that we drive here, we have all kinds of inventions that are basically the physics, the laws of physics help us get here, help us dress. I didn't fall down. Anyway, all these laws, these physical laws, are maintained by his authority. It puts Yeshua in an even greater light than what we understand. And guess what? Are all these physical laws, all these atoms... Well, let me just leave that there because I'm getting ahead of myself. So, God's authority represents God himself. Okay? And his power stands for his actions. So his power is going to be more of the verb. So with this in mind, a sin against God's power could be more easily forgiven than sin against his authority. This is a serious and heavy message. A sin against his power is bad, but against his authority? Satan rebelled against his authority. To sin against his authority is a sin against God himself. And God alone is authority in all things. All the authorities of the earth are instituted by the Almighty. So authority is a tremendous thing in the universe. Nothing overshadows it. Nothing is above it, his authority. So it's therefore very important. It's imperative for us who desire to serve the Almighty is to know his authority. In other words, not just hear about it, read about it, but to know it means to start to become intimated with his authority. So, now, when I read, Moshe built an altar, called it Adonai Nisi, and said, because their hand was against the throne of Yah, Adonai will fight Amalek generation after generation. Does it make a little bit more sense now? Why generation after generation? You know what? That includes us right now. Who's the Amalekites right now? We're gonna leave that one for right now.
Come on.
Okay. So sinning is an act. And it's a little bit more easily forgivable than rebellion. And that's a principle of Satan. Okay, so you have authority here. And we're calling this the ultimate authority. Okay? You can either be subject to it, or you can reject it. What happens if you reject it? What's that called? Rebellion. A rebel. Some people are proud of that. I guess it just depends on the context. But when you're in subjection to his authority, his power follows that authority. You reject it, you automatically become subject to the father of rebellion. And there's going to be something really scary about this. So we're going to call this rejection the principle of Satan. Okay, so Satan fell by the principle. He preferred his throne above Elohim's. What's it look like? It looks like self-exaltation, pride. It's all a part of the principle of rebellion. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you something. You get involved in rebellion. You get involved in pride. Whatever. Not you, but a person. I'm going to ask you, of all the incidents that you can remember where Yeshua cast out demons, demons that made people sick, demons that tormented people, made them deaf, mute, why didn't he cast out any demons in any of the religious people? Was it a demon that you could cast out? Was rebellion something you could just cast out? Was pride something you could just cast out? Now, there are demons that help enhance your pride. But pride, I don't see, is something that you cast out. It's a product of rejection of authority. We've all been there. We were there, every single one of us, before we came over to the light side, the dark side, the light side. Day one. Yah divided the light from the darkness. So here's the thing. What does this look like? Well, this can fool you because it doesn't matter what you say. If you're in rebellion, sometimes people don't know it because there can be somebody at a pulpit that can give you a great message. They might be able to sing real good. They may be very influential. You may think they're the greatest teacher, prophet, whatever. But if they are in a life of rebellion, in other words, they're not subject to his authority, they're really over here, but they're preaching like they're over here. This is where we get fooled. Every single one of us can get fooled just because of what we see. But what we don't see is the rebellion that they may have at their computers. The rebellion that they may have at work when nobody's looking. The rebellion that they may have at their house. Nobody knows it. It's in secret. But they're over here, but they think they're over here. And you and me might think they're over here. That's why we have to test the spirits. And we have to know those who labor among us. It's serious business. Because thinking you're here when you're really over here, you're living a life of death. Because life goes through this channel. Death is guaranteed over on that channel. So, you even have to... You can't be paranoid. I'm not saying to be paranoid about every single person. But what you got to do is know those who labor among you. So many have done this. Many are still doing this. In serving God, we must not violate authorities. We must not violate authorities. Even angels do not violate authorities. Angels, when they're sent, they're sent ones, they're messengers. They give the message, and then they report back. They don't dilly-dally, and they don't start doing extra things or saying extra things. They do exactly what they're told. Then they get back. Like Jude said, that the angel did not even give an accusation against Satan in disputing over the body of Moses. What's he doing? That angel was sent to do a job, and he did not go beyond that job. He went and done exactly what the Father did or told him to do, and that was it. Now, you can maybe kind of relate to the story of Cain and Abel. Why was Cain's sacrifice cast out? Abel's was accepted. Could it be Cain was coming from that area right there? Well, it proves it. It proves where Cain was, because when the father says, "Why are you looking so sad?" And he said, "Hey, don't you know if you do right, then your sacrifice will be, I'll be pleased with your sacrifice." Well, did Cain take the advice of the father? No, it led to Abel's death. And all it took was just one question to kind of bring that out of Cain. Okay. So, basically, if you look at it, Satan doesn't really care what kind of message anybody is preaching. What he is most concerned about is if you're in subjection to his authority. Because you are more than a conqueror when you're over here. You're undefeatable in the spiritual realm if you're under his authority. So basically, when we go out and we're spreading the good news, we're not trying to get people, well, let me just say, our mistakes have been trying to get people to believe like we do. That's a big thing, to get people to believe like we do. When in reality, what we need to be doing is helping people to go from this kingdom to this kingdom. You're bringing them, helping them to come under the subjection of his authority, not so much what I believe. So how can we do this? How can we get people to come under his authority if we're not in his authority? How can we possibly deal with Satan? So basically, to boil it down, the controversy of the entire universe boils down to his authority or rebellion. If all the elements decided they were going to rebel, we wouldn't be here. So basically, Yeshua says, the focus is obedience to the Father's will. That's what his life demonstrated. The focus over here is, the focus is you, me. Focus is the Father, the focus is us. Are ourselves. Remember what the serpent told Eve. It was all about her. So, again, that's Satan's principle, rebellion. So there is no authority. Authority doesn't work without subjection. Yeah, you can call, a person can call themselves a king, but if there's no subjects, in fact, Proverbs, I think, says that it's an honor of a king to have many subjects. So what does subjection look like? What it is Abba wants us to respond to his beckoning call of love. Voluntarily, to come under submission to his authority. His authority is not cruel. It takes faith. And when you're living a life of subjection, just like John 15:14 over there says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. So, also, in Acts 5:32, it says, and we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Oh, guess what? If we're in obedience, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. But what if you're in rejection? What if you're not in subjection to the Father and you have some kind of giftings? This is going to take discernment. Because if you're over here and you get the Holy Spirit, and you say you have the Holy Spirit, but you're a rebel, meaning you do not adhere to God's authorities, and that just doesn't mean in the church authorities, people, who sets our president up over us? Our governors. We'll see about that. So, we have to watch people that are operating in a spirit may not be the Holy Spirit. And they fool you. They fool you very well. Fool all of us. So, knowing his will and being subject to it, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. Paul, he knew he was supposed to go and present himself to the emperor of Rome. And he knew he was going to be bound in chains. There was a way that he could have taken that would not have allowed him to be bound in chains. But he said, no, I'm submitting to his will. Just like Yeshua did in the garden. He said, if there's another way, Father, I'm for it, but nevertheless, it's not my will, it's yours. Perfect submission. It's not just trying to obey the Sabbath. That's good. I'll give myself a brownie point for that. It goes beyond that. Now, Peter, in Acts 5:28 and 29, he says, now, context, Peter and the disciples, or the other apostles by this time, are in front of the Sanhedrin. And they had been warned once before not to preach in the name of Yeshua. And so we pick up in verse 28, Acts 5. We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Okay. That was Peter and the apostles saying that. But, okay, now you got this other book written by Peter. And Peter says in 1 Peter 2:13 through 17, it says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, and by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of the Almighty, of God. So, here Peter says, we must obey God rather than men, and now he says, be subject to every human institution. That's enough to confuse you, isn't it? Why did I have to say that? I could have just eliminated some of these scriptures, but I thought, no, got to look at the whole thing. How do you serve God rather than man? Or obey God rather than man? Well, again, it takes discernment, because remember, every authority, whether it's the president, our governor, we have to say, or our councilman, these authorities have been set up by the Almighty. But there are some who kick against the authority of the Almighty. In this case, it was the leader of the Sanhedrin at this time that was telling Paul and Peter and the apostles. But Yeshua specifically told the apostles to go and do something. Now, this was a word right from the mouth of Yeshua. And these authorities were in conflict with what Yeshua was saying. So we just have to be careful. Don't do a little knee-jerk reflex and think, oh, you know, I'm not going to obey this character. Be careful, because that character might have been specifically put in place for a purpose. Why was Rome in authority over Israel at the time of Yeshua? Israel was not on their best behavior ever since the Babylonian captivity. They rejected his authority. So he put another authority over them. It was oppressive, but it was his will at the time. All right. So we have to learn to discern godly authority and those who labor among us. So there's a lot of people, and I kind of used to be this way myself. I don't want to brag about this, but was really against any kind of authority, especially thinking, you know what, the church, you know, I'm just going to reject that kind of authority. I don't see it in Scripture, and I'm just going to be an authority unto myself. Home groups, whatever. Now, I'm not saying anything against home groups per se, but there are some congregations as well as home groups that are set up on the principle of Satan out of rebellion. And my thinking was, when Yeshua came, now we're all supposed to be under him and not under anybody else. Okay? Sounds like a great argument. All right. But to be consistent with that, did Yah, when Yeshua died on the cross, did he say with this same principle, okay, kids, you don't have to be subject to your parents? We'll let the Holy Spirit teach the kids. Does that work? I mean, none of us will say that Yeshua came to do away with the authority of the parents over the children. Nobody says that. But to be consistent, if he did away with all authority except us directly to him, yeah. Did he do away with authority so that nations could just, you know, everybody, every citizen could say, I'm not under the subjection of the president or the king or the parliament anymore. I'll just be right to, my authority is right straight to God, nobody else. How do you think that'd work? That hasn't happened. So anyway, some of our arguments for a lack of authority is really not very much of an argument. The Father set up authority structures in our government, in our families, and in our assemblies. So to ignore them is to ignore his overall plan. Those authority and obedience have been initiated and demonstrated by Yeshua and the Father. He initiated it and Yeshua demonstrated it for us. So those who do not know Yeshua or the Father, they are not intimate with authority or obedience. I'm going to say this again, but I'm going to say it in a different way. If a person is having major trouble subjecting themselves to authority or obedience, they cannot be intimate with the Father or Yeshua. Got it? You may know a lot about him, but submission to his authority and the obedience that goes with it is mandatory for a relationship. And our entire relationship is regulated by those two things. Once we start to see authority in Scripture, you cannot unsee it. Like when in Acts 5, the Sanhedrin, whoever it was, I don't know if it was the high priest, but he says, "Didn't we tell you not to preach in that name?" You know what he was saying? Don't preach in his authority. So there you go, you see it. They understood it. What about those Pharisees that came to Yeshua and says, "Whose authority are you doing this stuff under?" Wow. Valid question. Yes. A very valid question. But Yeshua turns it around and you know what he says? "I'll answer that question if you answer this one. Whose authority was John preaching in?" All about authority. Faith, it's about the authority of what he says. All right. These four words here that we've got: the Messiah, the resurrection, the restoration, and the kingdom. They're not just random words, but basically, they are all rooted in authority. All of these categories go back to his authority. Matthew 28:18. "And Yeshua came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" The Messiah said that. You read the whole chapter of John 11 and it talks about the resurrection. "I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Well, that was the way, the truth, and life. Anyway, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then later on in chapter 11, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." His authority called Lazarus out of that grave. Restoration, where do you see that? All over the place. But if you really want to see a good dose of restoration, read the whole book of Revelation. Also, there's in Acts 15 and 16, "After these things, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it." Kingdom. There's all kinds of kingdom scriptures. We've gone through them a lot, but I mean, to see the throne. Isaiah 6 starts out. Isaiah saw the throne. Ezekiel, in the first chapter, he sees the throne. But I like this one in Daniel 7. In 7:9, it starts out and it says, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire." All right, I'm going to leave you with this last statement. It's not hard to accept that our Heavenly Father is the ultimate authority in the universe. Nobody's going to argue with that. You're not going to get a demon to argue with that. However, the big question is, or the end of the statement is, There's only a few that allow his authority to be the authority in our lives, in our homes. Only a few. I hope we are here are all part of that few. Let him be the authority in your home. When you sit in front of the computer, nobody's around, let him be the authority. When you're at work, nobody's around. It's easy to sit there, kind of take a break, but submit yourself to his authority. And as Peter said, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Amen. Blessed are you, O holy Creator. There is none like you. By your wisdom, you commanded the elements to come into existence. By your understanding, you ordered their unique and individual behaviors. From atomic particles to the quasars and galaxies far away, they all declare your glory and submit wholly to your authority. In you I trust for restoration. I will await your voice to call me out of the dust. Is there anyone like you? And is there anything you can't do? Blessed are you who is worthy of all glory, honor, wisdom, and praise. Amen.